Well, each time we've been doing a proverb, and today is Proverbs 4, we're also looking at American proverbs that you and I have heard for years, but you've never really maybe stopped to think about the fact that that's something that's said and you translate it in a way that makes you understand a thought. But let me throw this at you. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. And basically that can be translated, when traveling, follow the customs of the local people. Let's put it into story form. Jane and Ray had been homebodies most of their lives, but after their kids were grown and out of the nest, they decided to take a trip around the world. Of course, they were inexperienced travelers, and they had trouble accepting the customs of the people in the countries they visited. To make them feel more comfortable during their travels, some members of the tour group recommended that when in Rome, do as the Romans do. They suggested that Jane and Ray should make an effort to follow the customs of the local inhabitants and not expect to behave in a foreign country as they would at home. Once they began to follow this advice, Jane and Ray enjoyed their trip much more. So we come to Proverbs chapter 4, and we see some familial advice that sounds like it's actually from a grandfather to a father. Look at verse 1 with me. Hear, O sons, of father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. And so once again, we have this familial call, this family call to listen. And it's almost like he's having us sit down and we're at a campfire and he's going to start teaching us what we need to learn to live well. Verse 2, for I give you good precepts, do not forsake my teaching. These good precepts, that's the idea that there is no wisdom but that which is linked to good doctrine, which should be the focal point of all instruction. And so he's giving his son helpful help. You ever have people give you help, but later you're like, this isn't very helpful. But this is helpful help. Verse 3, when I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother. And so Solomon refers to David and Bathsheba, and he's giving us an understanding of what he went through as he's looking to his dad and his mom. He taught me, verse 4, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. So he's stressing, these are things you need to pursue. These are things that, if you listen to me, if you follow what I'm saying, your life is going to go well. So don't turn away from this. Listen. Verse 6, do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. So don't forsake and love. And this describes the same action from two different sides. Hold fast to wisdom and passionately commit to her. Verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And in whatever you get insight. So the attainment of wisdom is in the final analysis not a matter of IQ or grade point average, but of desire and will. And you've seen this, I've seen this. You watch even in athletics where there are people that are talented, naturally talented, but they're lazy. They're not willing to put in the work. Then you'll see these ones that you just, how in the world did that guy get on the field? And then you watch him play. You watch her play and you go, oh, It's because they put the extra work in. They have the desire. They have the passion. Verse 8, prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. The whole idea of exalting and embracing. The more highly one esteems wisdom, the more highly wisdom lifts that person. Verse 9. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. So the path of wise living is actually the road to honor. So you're gonna do well to listen and to follow and to obey. And then we go from that to a father to a son. Look at verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. If you will be both hear and receive the wisdom that's taught, then the years of your life will be many. That's something to hold on to. That is a precept that you can lock into. Verse 11, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. So Solomon returns to that metaphor of life as a path, and that path of uprightness, it's marked out by those who are right, both morally and practically. Verse 12, when you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. So the assurance is that the path of wisdom is one free of obstacles and hindrances that slow or stop your progress. So walking wisely is going to be much better for you. You're going to start losing the obstacles that others will have put in front of them because they're not living wisely. Verse 13, keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. So the father is right now commanding his son, and he commanded in verse 5 to get wisdom. Here, he commands him to hold on to it. So don't just get it. Hold on to it. Make sure that you've got a good grip. Verse 14. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. So sin is best dealt with at the beginning by the application of necessary wisdom to suit the initial temptation. So deal with this early. Don't wait. Deal with it early. And then verse 15, avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. So there's four verbs here that show those necessary steps in urgently dealing with sin at its start, at the point of inception. Okay, first of all, avoid the sinful situation. And then travel as far from it as possible. And then turn away from the sin. And then pass beyond or escape the sin. And that the nature of sin's enticement is, you'll see that outlined as you look at actually what some call the New Testament Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. And that is James 1, verses 13 through 15. Listen to this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. So God is saying through the writer of the Proverbs, just avoid that path. Just sidestep. Get away from that. Look at verses 16 and 17 back at Proverbs 4. For they cannot sleep unless they have done wrong. They are robbed of sleep unless they have made someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. So they have to sin before they can sleep. And they view their sin as food for their hungry, wicked souls. And if you've never met somebody like this, they're out there. And you do not want to mess with this. Verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. And so the path of the believer is one of increasing light. That's good to know. Just as a sunrise begins with that faint glow of dawn and precedes the splendor of noonday. Let's keep going. Verse 19. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. So we see that sin can be so blinding that the wicked actually trip over the obvious, like they're walking in pitch darkness without any light whatsoever. And God wants us to avoid that. Verse 20, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Please incline your ear. Lean in hard. Hear me. Verse 21, let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And this heart, commonly referred to the mind as the center of thinking and reason, but also includes the emotions and the will and thus that whole inner being. The heart is the depository of all wisdom and the source of whatever affects our speech and our sight and our conduct. So He wants us to guard our hearts. Understand that we need wisdom. Verse 24, put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. So watch your mouth. Verse 25, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. So guard your eyes. Verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Guard your feet. And then lastly, verse 27. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Look straight ahead. Don't waver off the good path. And so he keeps up with this path motif because where we're heading is determined by what path we're on. Please be wise.